This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. Wisconsin's primary elections are just a month away. You might think, given the passionate political stance that many people make on social media, that the races are all but decided. But according to the latest Marquette University Law poll, you'd be wrong.
The July poll, released yesterday afternoon, shows that about a third of voters in the state are still undecided on candidates. In the Republican primary for U.S. Senate, 30% of primary voters are undecided. Among Democratic primary voters, 38% say they don't know which of the eight candidates they'll support for governor.
WUWM's Mayon Silver spoke with the director of the Marquette poll, Charles Franklin, just after the poll data was released to the public. He explains the big takeaways from the polling, starting with the gubernatorial race.
Well, I think the big picture is that Tony Evers has a notable advantage within the field, but with 38% undecided, it's still possible that things change dramatically. For the other candidates who are all below 10%, the question is, can they do something that makes them stand out and coalesce support from the undecideds, or maybe from the other candidates, that would let them break out in these last few weeks? We've had debates and forums and other kinds of things, but clearly from the data, a majority of voters have not tuned into that and not given it intense enough attention for any of these candidates to break out. Evers, by building his advantage over time, is emerging more as the clear front runner. But the question is there any challenger that can kind of break out and become the clear number two candidate, and then the two of them fight it out? Or ultimately, does no one emerge and we get a very splintered vote in the primary?
And if there's a splintered vote in the primary, how do you see that going forward for the Democratic candidate against Scott Walker?
I'm not sure that primary splinter or big majority is a huge issue. It's more a question of, after the primary, how much resources does the Democratic nominee have? How fast can they raise resources? We know from the financial filings that the governor has a lot of money in the bank. But we knew that going in, that the governor would have a very well-financed campaign. So I think the question is, coming out of the primary, can the Democratic nominee marshal some issues that are compelling for their side, and in a rush, gain financial support to run a strong campaign, not matching the incumbent from dollar for dollar. But we know from research on this that challengers don't need to match incumbents dollar for dollar. They do need enough money to be doing a substantial amount of advertising and campaigning, but they don't have to have a dollar for dollar match. So that's where we are. We'll see what happens come August.
So we kind of have a similar situation, except fewer candidates with the Senate race. Do you see the same issues?
I think the difference with the Senate race is it's only two candidates, and they're fairly evenly matched now. And they both have substantial financial resources, either themselves or through third-party organizations. So I think on the one hand, it's likely that cumulatively, the number of dollars for advertising that's spent in the Senate race is much larger over these last 4 weeks and fairly evenly balanced between the two candidates. In fact, I think it's possible that the Republican Senate race swamps the advertising of the Democratic gubernatorial race just because those two campaigns are highly competitive and well-financed. You can always have the situation in which both campaigns have spent down all of their money in the primary and therefore also face the problem of not having much cash on hand after the primary, while Tammy Baldwin has a very substantial war chest of her own. And so I think the situation we're in is both incumbents are in good financial shape, and both challengers, whoever they end up being, likely come out of the primaries with pretty depleted campaign chests. Then the question is, are their backers ready to pour in money to either the Democratic or the Republican challengers?
Well, and in the poll, you also mentioned that the incumbents have the advantage of being known.
Incumbents are known. It's both a good and a bad. A lot of people have made up their minds about Governor Walker and about Senator Baldwin. And so they're strong with their supporters, but they're also confronted with a lot of opponents. I think for challengers, the question is always, can you raise issues against the incumbent that resonate with people in a way that failed to resonate, or other issues failed to resonate in the last election? After all, the incumbents won their last election. And so challengers need a message that's right for the particular circumstances of the current election, and they need the resources to push those messages out, and they need that almost undefinable thing that makes a candidate appealing, and we're waiting to see about that.
What do you see as the issues for the November, like getting past the primary? Do you see anything is coming to the forefront? I mean, we're not there yet, but
yeah, I think I'll take a pass on that, in that you can imagine a variety of issues that have been mentioned at one time or another during the campaign. And you can look at what each of the candidates said at their convention speeches in May and June. But which of those issues they decide to actually make an ad about or make the keynote of their speeches in the fall, that I don't know at this point. So I'm going to hold off and we'll see how that develops. Almost always the general point is, has the incumbent done a good job or a bad job in office? But there are a lot of ways to claim that somebody did a bad job, and that's the challenger's task, is to say, here's what they should have done better, and also here's what I would have done better in those circumstances.
Do you see Governor Walker as infallible in this election, or do you see that one of the Democratic opponents could present a real challenge?
Yeah, I think this is an election year where national political forces probably favor the Democrats, though at this point we don't know how big that national force is going to be. Governor Walker has won his past gubernatorial races with 52, 53, and 52% of the vote. So it wouldn't take a whole lot to push that down to below 50%. But conversely, Democrats have run against him three times and failed to find the message to pull him down. So the national forces is part of that, the message is part of it, and having the resources to run the strong campaign is part of it.
Thank you so much, okay. Mr. Franklin.
Thank you. Yeah.
Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette University Law School poll. He spoke with WUWM's Mayon Silver. There is a link to the poll from WUWM.com.